meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. Bad Religion in studio tonight. Greg and Brooks in from the band. Good to see you guys.
Good to be here.
Always good to see Bad Religion. I'm a Bad Religion fan.
Fanatic.
I don't say fanatic. Seems weird and sexual.
Uh-huh.
18 albums, by
Call
the way,
what you will.
Since 1980, everybody. Bad Religion. Where's Greg? He's usually here to wow us with his latest degree. So smart. Yeah. What happened? The vein in his forehead got so big, he had to go see a neurosurgeon back east or go to the Mayo Clinic or something?
I don't know. Is he educating someone?
I don't know. I don't think he's here.
Always with a new degree. Talking about molecular science in here. Hey, we got to turn the guests up.
Imagine that. It's never happened on this show before.
Not on this show.
No, other radio shows.
Other radio shows we have, Dr. Drew in from New York.
Adam from New York.
We both hit a little storm out there in New York. And I was just saying, etiquette-wise, as far as pilots go, you know, pilots don't tell you when there's a major hydraulic problem. Like, when they've lost all hydraulics and the number two engine is the thing's beeping and it's saying there's a fire number. The guy doesn't get on the blower and yell, grab, put your head in your ass and kiss goodbye. He's like, yeah, we got a little difficulty up here. Just go ahead and pour yourself another drink. Cinch down the seatbelts. We're going to go ahead and dump some fuel over the Atlantic. You know, they're like that. They should have the same etiquette on the wait, because Drew and I were both in line at the tarmac. We're just talking about this. And I got the, we're 47th. In line
for takeoff,
47th behind the Wright brothers original plane and the torpedo plane that sunk the Tirpitz in 1941. Drew is 50th.
I got 50th for takeoff. Jeez. That's why I'm gonna kill myself
right now. And I'm just saying, that's a piece of information you can keep to yourself, along with the hydraulic malfunction. To me, more cataclysmic. Bigger problem. I know it sounds weird, but the fact that we're 47.
You're going to live through that 50th plane weight.
Yes, that's 47. Yes, I will. I'll have a beard. It'll be like traveling into time when I land at LAX.
So like 2 hours on the tarmac?
It's an hour and 15, hour and 20.
Yeah. I just started boozing. When I hear anything over five, I double down on the booze and just try to drift off into some sort of leather-wrapped nether world up there in first class. Drew was, I'm sure, over in coach because he hammered his first class tickets and pocketed the money.
I was sitting next to Michael York, in fact.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, our audience. Huge Michael York fans.
Especially his really good Musketeer movies, right?
He was one of Three Musketeers back in the 70s.
Oh,
yes,
really?
True. And, when the original. Or the original, maybe the second one, not the Charlie Sheen crappy one. Band, by the way, touring with Pennywise. You're playing some dates with Pennywise, which is too many in my book.
Well, never enough.
Yeah. Fletcher couldn't get into Canada, so that's why they can't do the Canadian tour with us.
Fletcher couldn't get to Canada because he can't fit in Canada, or they wouldn't let him in?
I think both.
It's a large country, but not big enough for Fletch. I could see him going into like the Soviet Union, but Canada's a little tight around the hips for Fletch.
Yeah.
You know, the border's just not wide enough for him to get his ass through there.
Because he's a felon or something? Why can't he go in?
Greg?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact story.
We were trying to get him on those shows, but they're just doing the East Coast
He can take you to Poo Poo City, though.
Yeah, he's the mayor of Poo Poo City.
He is indeed.
Yeah.
Poo Poo Platter.
He's got the huge golden roll of toilet paper, which is presented to him. Yeah, the thing about Fletch and the thing about Canada is Canada's uptight about who they let into their country.
They let him into Brazil, though, last year.
Then they complain about us not letting people in.
Right.
Yeah.
Canada, every band, every person, everybody I've ever spoken to that's traveled to Canada has given some long-winded story about being hassled by the border agents, and I was, too.
Me, too.
They bring the dogs on the bus, too.
Yeah.
I had this awesome thing where somebody told me, look, when you go to Canada, just tell them you're here for pleasure. Do not tell them you're here for business, because if you tell them you're here for business, you're screwed. They'll pull you aside. They'll do a bunch of crap.
Yeah. So they're like, I had to get a work permit.
What are you? Well, that's why they told me to say I was just here for pleasure. So they're like, what are you here for? And I'm like, pleasure. And they're like, oh, okay. And they pulled me aside and they searched my briefcase and they pulled an itinerary out that was 80 pages thick that had 700 stops on it. Then you go here. Then you meet with this guy. Then it's a meet and a greet, a handshake. Then you sign this stuff and you go over to this place. And I was like, and it's like, yeah, oh, this is pleasure. This looks like a lot of business you're doing here. And I was like, well, we're promoting the man show. And I was like, I'm not getting paid for any of that stuff. I'm not getting paid. I'm just going to do radio station. I'm going to stuff. So I'm not getting paid for it. And they're like, well, no, I don't understand. Why wouldn't you get paid if you went and did it? Whatever. And I said, look, I tried to speak their language. I said, when Michael J. Fox, your own Michael J. Fox, comes over to our country and does The Tonight Show, he doesn't do it for the money. He does it to promote his latest. And they said, who's Michael J. Fox? And I was like, wait a minute. Okay, now we had to stop.
Alan Thicke.
We had to stop. Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute. You don't know who Michael J. Fox is? And you're from, he's Canadian. And they're like, we don't know. And I'm like, I can't believe you. And they're like, let's talk about the paperwork. And I was like, what? No, I can't talk about this until we get to the bottom of Michael. There's two of them. They're like in their 30s. They had no idea Michael J. They weren't Jamaican or anything. Just a couple of white guys from Canada. No idea Michael J. Michael J. French. Fox would be horrified if he, no accent
or
nothing.
Were you going to Quebec or from Toronto or something?
No, I was on the, you know, Seattle border there.
Oh, my God.
Vancouver. Washington border. Yeah, he would be horrified, Michael J. Fox, to find out there are two citizens of Canada. No, never heard his name. This is 5 years ago. This is like big, you know. Anyway, what was I talking about, Drew?
Monty Hall.
Yeah. He couldn't get into Canada, that guy. All right, you ready to take some phone calls?
Let's do.
You're very uptight over there.
Well, did you mention this?
Kicking off the tour, Bad Religion, by the way, at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills.
Ow.
That is Thursday. October 20th, that is this Thursday.
Yeah.
That's an ad.
Friday, we're in Las Vegas.
Oh.
Empire Ballroom, and then University of Redlands out in the Meth Belt on Sunday.
Where in Vegas?
Empire Ballroom.
What's that now?
I have no idea.
It's a new venue that they're...
I think it used to be a place called Utopia, some rave club.
Huh.
Or Pleasures. I can't remember.
Pleasures. It's always weird when they give... You know, like, here's the whole thing about when you're going to name your strip bar. Don't give it a creepy, eerie name, and don't give it a weird name that shows up on some receipt somewhere or some card or something that the old lady can find, you know? It's like I say with porn. Don't call it, you know, your bangus, your anus, you know, Sperm Fest 27. Just call it something like Intimate Encounters or something or something that doesn't seem so grotesque, and then maybe you could slide under the radar a little bit.
Peppermint Peccary or something good like that.
Yeah.
Having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't make the card, you know, day glow orange with confetti stuck onto it and stuff. Just try to write on, you know what I mean? Like fly under the radar just a little bit.
People in that business, though, seem to have difficulty doing that.
And do me a favor, paint some windows on the front of the building, even if you have no windows. Go ahead and, you know what I would do? I would bust a window hole, and I would just put some plywood over it, and I would put some drapes. So you just at least it looked like something was going on in there. Yeah. Right. My God, what do they do with the fire marshal in those strip clubs? There's no escape if those places go up.
They distract them when they get in there.
Oh, it'd be awesome when they have to call your family and tell you how you went.
Oh.
He did do what he loved. Bethany, he died in the champagne room like a hero. He went back to save strippers.
VIP room at Loveline.
He tried to extinguish the fire with some champagne. But it was too advanced, and he went down. Yeah. Bethany?
Yes.
Go ahead. You're 20?
Yeah. My name's Bunny.
Oh, Bunny. Bunny. Oh, stripper.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Wow. This
says
is
Bethany.
Weird. Says Bethany.
Yeah, I have a question for Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
Bethany, have you been drinking or something tonight? You sound a little slurry.
No, I'm just a little bit nervous.
Okay.
My boyfriend made a mention. I wish. I'm 20. Not quite old enough to go get my stuff. My alcohol. Whatever. Anyway, my boyfriend...
So taking something, though. Go ahead.
My boyfriend... made mention the last time we were together is that our sex is too mechanical, and I thought either it has something to do with me being a stripper and dealing with all of this at work, or it might have something to do with the fact that I get lockjaw when I'm giving head.
Yeah, me too. I mean, wow.
I understand that the
heard of that.
The name Lockjaw has a mechanical reference in it, but I don't believe that's what your boyfriend would be talking about.
Is that connected to a TMJ?
It will certainly give you TMJ. Basically, lockjaw is just when you open your mouth wide, your jaw dislocates. Mm. And in order to get it back in place, sometimes you have to go to the emergency room. They have to jam down.
But it doesn't lock closed.
It locks open.
It locks open.
Yeah.
I think most people assume it's locked down.
Well, they're talking, that's tetanus. If you get the little jaw, they can't move the muscle. That's an illness you just don't see anymore.
Yeah. I'd like to bring that one back.
Or the guy that the original, forget it.
Bonnie?
Yes?
Bruce lost interest.
No, I was going to say, give a weird historical reference, but why?
Why? Bonnie?
Yes.
Yeah. We already, you already dropped the Michael York reference 10 minutes ago.
I'm not going to talk about the Brooklyn Bridge.
Don't do it. Bethany?
Yes.
I mean, Bonnie, look, hey, who's phone screening tonight?
Here's
Patricia.
Yeah, Patricia. When the person says their name is something different than what's on the screen, you got to change it for us if you're listening or if you can do that. Because I'll just keep wanting to call it what's on the screen. But anyway, Bonnie, either your stripper name or your Jewish name?
Hey, Adam, just to let you know, it can't be switched once you're on with her.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's locked on.
Well, scratch that. Lockjaw.
Now, the mechanical part is undoubtedly what he's feeling is the emotional emptiness that you associated with sex. The fact you're a stripper suggests that you had some sexual trauma around sex, and therefore, to be sexual, you just slip into your little mechanical mode, or at least non-emotional mode, and it freaks guys out a little bit when they can see you just sort of performing as opposed to actually involving yourself in an intimate encounter.
Mm. Could that be true?
Well, I've never had a problem. Like, when I'm at work and with guys at work, not a single one of them has said anything about me being mechanical, but I'll ask
Yeah, but they're not trying to have a relationship with you. They want you to be mechanical.
They don't have a suggestion box at the strip club, so I would suggest that's the one place that needs one. Hold on a second. There's a suggestion box at the Starbucks, at the movie theater, at the tire stores. There's a suggestion box everywhere but the strip club, and that's where I could use a suggestion box.
That should have been a Man Show bit. Imagine what would have been pulled out of that box.
Well, a lot of it would have been stuck together.
Oh,
a lot of suggestions.
God.
The suggestions.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Oh, the suggestion box sounds like a pretty good strip club name. Big question mark over the top with the word box in it. Drew, write that down. That's a good name for a strip club.
Got it.
Yeah, and your wife just thinks you're being helpful if she sees that receipt,
yes.
It's always funny, too, is that the receipt doesn't have the name, doesn't have the strip club name on it, doesn't have Pleasures 5 on it. It just says food bill or something, but it's $2,600 worth of, like, cheese sticks, and it's you and one other guy, and it's a little tough. Now you really have to start wording around how all that money went out on the Visa card. And yeah, it's tough. It is tough. It can be tough. Bunny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Bunny, the lockjaw, yeah. You need to. Have you ever had to go to the hospital for that?
No, my mom is a nurse, and she's taught me how to put it back.
All right.
Ooh.
And are you taking drugs or alcohol or something? What are you doing here? What's happening?
No, I have hypothyroidism. I'm on Synthroid and birth control. That's it.
No other. No anxiety medicine.
Hypothyroidism and a stripper.
That's all right.
Huh.
All right. But anyway, the fact that the job you're in again suggests the trauma. And so when you can go and act on stage in a way as to gain control over men, that's different than being in an intimate relationship where somebody expects you to be a human being in an intimate contact.
Hey, Bethany. I mean, Bonnie. Can't stop reading the name. I have to correct myself and call her Bonnie. We'll just go by. If we call you Bethany, you just
let it
nod.
Ride. Let
yeah,
it
let
ride.
It ride. Is it a topless place or topless and bottomless?
They serve alcohol. Legally, we have to keep a T-bar on and our latex on our nipples.
Ooh.
So topless.
Latex on the nipple. And just a shot from the caulking gun, or do you actually put pasties on there?
No pasties. We get away with not wearing pasties by wearing latex. And you basically still see the nipple, but it's just a loophole.
Has anybody latex got an allergy? Yeah, that kind of... be a bummer.
If they have a latex allergy, then they have the option of wearing
polyurethane.
The pasties.
Yeah. How about just some of those ripe stickers from the bananas? And what do you mean the latex? How's the latex sticker work? Is it just flesh tone?
It's liquid latex, and you basically paint it on, and when it dries, it becomes tacky, and then you just use, like, eyeshadow or blush over the top, and it gives it, like, a color.
A what or a blush?
Wait a minute. We've plumbed new depths and bizarreness in this country,
this
which loophole. Is you can't actually show nipples.
You paint
so
a
what
nipple
you do
on
is
nipple.
You paint a nipple on top of the nipple.
That's right.
Oh my God!
But if it's, but
you
if it's
understand
latex,
when you
it's
get
okay.
high on mushrooms, what happens? Why you freak out, Drew? Freak out! You understand why you freak out? Because you realize the kind of society we're living in. This is fine. No problem.
Perfect.
No problem. You know you must cover your nipple, so we will cover your nipple and then paint a nipple on top of the nipple. And if you go with latex, it actually looks pretty good.
What happens down below? I'm just curious.
Well, they have to wear a T-bar.
What's that?
T-bar is either thong back or it's tracked for drop ceiling. I'm going to go with the thong back on this one. I just feel like the aluminum track T-bar ceiling would be
could
cumbersome.
Could be part of the loophole. Could be weird.
Yeah, must wear a T-bar. She's got a piece of drop ceiling from a commercial office building wrapped around her.
Yeah.
All right.
Not far off from the painted on nipple, I got to tell you.
True, but who's got more range than the Ace Man? It's a two T-bar meeting.
That's good. That's good.
Thank you. Bunny?
Yes.
T-bar is basically thong back, right?
T-bar is a thong that is an inch wide, so it covers the ass and everything else.
All right. Where did Bunny go to finishing school?
I'm going to go Munich.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. Geneva. I'm
Queen's
Geneva.
College.
Yeah. Hey, Bunny. Yeah, so it's basically a thong. Well, it is a thong back.
Yeah.
Okay, please just agree.
Well,
I know, but you know what's very unsatisfying about this job and all the idiots we talked to all night? If you are right, you'll be right 10 minutes from now when I'm done explaining it, and then you're not really right because it's too far away from what you said.
You just sound like an idiot complaining.
Yeah, like if you said, car tires, basically you bolt that on your car so you can roll down the road, and the person went, well, I'll tell you what a car tire is. Car tire is it's a rubber orb that goes on the rim that's go ahead and fitted on the rim, and then it's pinched on the side, crimped on the side, holds there, and then that goes on the car so you can roll down the road. But it's too far away from the time you said it for you to be right.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, perfect.
Thank you.
So it's a great strategy they use.
I know.
It works.
It feels horribly unsatisfying when you say, there's certain, even strippers get to be experts. You know what I mean? Like if you say to a doctor expert or a carpenter expert, if you tell him his business and you're right, they can never go, you're right. They just have to go, well, actually what it is, and they just repeat back to you what it is because they can't just take lay people knowing. But even in the stripper world, that holds true.
Yep. Well, on this show.
That's true.
Strippers are called this show.
All right, Bunny. So you get to wear the latex.
And the T-bar.
And the T-bar, which is the same as the thong bag. And
No, it isn't. We've established. No.
I've never heard that name before.
There you go.
Really?
You've never heard of a thong?
I've never heard a thong back. I know it's a thong, but there's several different cuts. So thong back's not one I've heard of. Sorry.
Right. Okay.
Who cares?
How far away can we're talking about ass cheeks? Talking about ass cheeks for now going on 22 minutes, but we're talking about ass cheeks, and I say thong back, you know? Think it's a piece of barbecue equipment or something? Like, no? All right.
Hiya.
Strippers don't. They never disappoint.
No.
Never. Except for in the lap dance department, ironically. The one place they can disappoint, that's where they disappoint. Hey, everybody! We got some bonderized caulk on all the nipples of the ladies out there. Go ahead and lick it off and get pancreatic cancer. We got the thong back, not to be confused with the T-bar. It's a one-inch strip coming up the A-hole. Coming up. Julie, stay tribe. Those with a latex allergy can go to the champagne room and go ahead and get lick some saran wrap that's been colored a flesh color and put a little rouge lipstick on there. We beat God on a technicality, everybody. Yeah. It's kind of the equivalent to that T-shirt with the tuxedo painted on it.
Yeah.
This is the stripper version of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Was her question? Did you
Let's
answer her
we
question?
Did. We did. Keep moving.
We did?
Yeah.
We did?
Yeah.
All right.
Jackson, 29.
Adam.
Corona.
All right.
Run out of steam on my own name, even. Go ahead.
I got a couple of quick questions. I'll run through the first one. Can you catch sexually transmitted diseases like genital warts from toilet seat?
No.
Okay.
Effectively.
Drew, how much time do you think this country wastes each year prepping a toilet seat in a public place?
A lot.
I mean, you know, the guys who break the little pieces off and make the little decoupage of toilet paper on there.
In Chicago, you notice that was automatic. Chicago Airport. These little things move across. These plastic things.
Have you seen those before?
What is that? I guess it's what you do when you have money and you have food and you just start obsessing about weird stuff.
Right. You're touching something other people touched. Who? Where the underpants have been. Huh?
It's weird. Like, look, if I don't see anything on the seat, I'm just moving forward. I'm fine.
A certain percentage of people are going to have...
I get something.
Let's put it this way. Remember all the stuff that was going to kill people in New Orleans? Oh, my God, we're going to have Shigella and Campylobacter all these horrible pathogens. Well, that's how they're passed along in the oral fecal route. Fecal contaminates stuff, gets in the hands, gets to the mouth. But those things are so uncommon in this country now. We do spend a lot of time on it. It used to be a big deal. You know, around the time of the Civil War, cholera killed a lot of people. I think it's still sort of a historical anachronism in many ways.
I was thinking about that whole New Orleans thing or talking to someone about it, and I was realizing how when the left gets into panic mode about people of color, they end up being inadvertently racist, and they don't know it because they're so condescending all the time. Yeah. And think about it. Think about this for a second. The Superdome was like... they were getting the reports out of the Superdome where the gangs that were raping infants and you're having to step over bodies and people were being killed and no one was able to do anything. And it was just sort of man. It was sort of there were more beast than man in there. Everyone was going at it. Right.
Right.
And everyone's reaction was just like, especially on the left, was like, ooh, well, see, Bush should have got some people out to New Orleans earlier. Now, here's the thing. They don't know it. And this sounds horrible. But if they were Jews in there, they would have went, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Bands of roaming, whatever, people being raped, people being killed. I don't buy that. Go in there and whatever. But all they did, because everyone in there was black and the left is much more racist than you'll ever know in a more condescending, sort of all-encompassing way. They actually don't think people of color can take care of themselves. And they do. They're like, they were looking at it like they were zookeepers or something. They were like... Well, see what happens when you put the crocodiles in with the penguins. I mean, this is okay. See, it's Bush's fault. It's the zookeeper's fault for putting them in together, not what the hell's going on in there. They were blaming the zookeeper. That is a racist thing. Mm-hmm. Horribly racist, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. They never went like, well, what? Those people have to be arrested, or what do you mean, raping babies? They were just like, they really treated it just like you treat, like the zookeeper just said, put the gators and the lions in with our ostriches and the penguins. And we'd go, well, he shouldn't have done that. He should have known better. Right. He should have been more prepared. He should have had separate cages. Yeah. It was horribly racist, and no one ever really approached it from that angle. They were just like, oh, well, see, that's what happens.
Yeah,
we should have think about that, everybody. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Heavy.
Ace Man's always heavy.
Ace Man is always heavy. Bad Religion in studio tonight. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll hear ourselves a little song, and we'll do the break now, hear the song after this.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. The phone number's 1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back.
Yeah. Love Line, everybody. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Greg and Brooks here tonight from Bad Religion.
Yo, yo, yo.
Keep your applause till after the movement, please.
The going out with doing some dates with Pennywise. Also going to be not in Canada. Going to be at the in Agoura Hills on Thursday, and then also in Vegas, and then kicking off the Meth Busters tour.
Yeah. You got it.
In Redlands? Where the
it's
hell
an interesting
it?
Mix of cities.
Redlands,
yeah.
I think that one's with Pepper and Cottonmouth Kings.
Yeah. Cottonmouth Kings.
Wow.
Yeah.
Heard of them a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while, but they were good. Mm-hmm. We must have had them in here.
Six, 8 years ago?
It's going six, seven years ago. Yeah, sounds about right. Here's something off the Bad Religion CD.
Cottonmouth Kings. Bad Religion.
No.
It's a nice segue.
You want to take a phone call?
Yeah.
All right. What are we going to talk about? That's something to talk about. Well, let me ask you guys this. I was in the, who is this guy? You guys tell me who this guy is, because I can't figure this guy out. I was in the magazine store of LAX on Thursday grabbing a magazine before I got on the airplane. And I did that thing where I had like the garment bag and my jacket and my backpack, and I was sort of making my way through the little tight little areas where everyone's sitting around reading the magazine and stuff. By the way, don't you want to read the magazine on the plane? You want to stand there and read it on terra firma and then not have anything to read
on the
plane?
By the way, are you the only human who's walked through there with bags?
I know. Yeah.
What's with the business in the airport with the...
Why make it that tight? Right. So what I did is I did that thing where I started to turn around and my backpack whacked into another guy's backpack, but not hard at all, just brushed up against the backpack. And I immediately said, oh, sorry, excuse me. And the guy gave me that weird look. Now, he wasn't listening to an iPod or anything. He just gave me that thing that fully half the people I wave to or say sorry to or whatever give me that back. Just weird, like, oh my God, what was that?
Yeah.
As if it's really it's the look they would give you if you just pounced on them in their sleep in their own bedroom. Like you kicked open their apartment door.
What it makes you want to do is do that so you can see the difference between what you did and what you should have done to get that reaction.
Like if someone bangs into my bag and no body contact, no fluid exchange, just bag on bag, little light bag tap, and immediately, oh sorry, pardon me, with the sort of
madman,
just like I don't know how to how to process this.
How dare you is the basic.
It's a cross between how dare you, I don't know what to make of this, and oh my God, what just happened?
Kind of
thing. And how about you just
of all places in an airport little gift shop?
I know luggage on luggage, and how about just a little? No problem. Even if you're from South Korea and you don't speak a lick of English, you can still give a like that's a. You know, a little body language, or what's that weird, like, huh? It's like the old man who's walking his dogs down the street, and you give him the, how you doing? You know, hand up, and he just sort of looks at you confused and looks back down again, like, who is that guy that he can't raise his hand up, or is he confused, or you think you want money, or you don't want to have sex with him?
I was doing
like,
a U-turn while the guy was walking through a crosswalk, and he made like, there's a madman loose. I'm doing a U-turn. Wasn't turning left into his crosswalk.
Well, at least he thought something. I understand that, too. That's just a sort of puss, but what's the guy who can't react to the hello or the wave or the pardon me? Who is this guy? Where is he? I don't think I know any of these guys, but they're being bred somewhere, and they're being bred in large numbers, and what happened? What happened to this person? Abused?
Yeah, probably.
Confused? Yeah. Angry?
Scared.
Well, the whole world is abuse, right? Everything's being abused. Every contact is abuse.
I think here's how I always interpret it. If he said no problem, then I would be off the hook. But as long as he doesn't say anything, I'm on the hook.
Right.
Next thing you know, you're sitting next to him on the airplane, and he's vibing you the whole time.
Right.
100 deep on the tarmac at
LaGuardia. Never underestimate how sick people could be. People could be looking for fights and stuff.
All right. Yeah. There's a little guy carrying a backpack.
I know.
Looked like he was from this country. I just didn't know what to do. All right. Let's hear a bad religion song, yes?
No. All right.
Nar-right?
I think we're going to take a song, and then... What? I mean, all right.
What's Nar-right mean?
It means... Ooh. No, but if you insist.
All right. Jeremy?
Yes.
You're 20?
I am 20.
All right.
What's up?
Well, first, I just wanted to say, Mr. Gaffin, I am a big fan of your work.
Yeah.
We're a big fan of his work here, but he's...
I hope he's got a radio.
I think he's somewhere in Ithaca, New York, so he's not here.
Unfortunately, we have three Greggs in the band, so everyone thinks Gaffin is here.
No, three Greggs, a Brooks, and a Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a Brett.
Jay's in Canada, right?
Yeah, he's in Coover.
Yeah. Cutting some trees down. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Good times. Anyways, my question was, my girlfriend's got a lot of guy friends, you know. Like, So, I don't know, we've been together for almost a year now, and it's to the point where when we first started dating, it wasn't a big deal, but now it's kind of getting to me. It's like, all right, every time she says, oh, I'm going to go hang out with, you know, so-and-so, I'm like, all right. I mean, I can't really say much. I don't want to be the dick boyfriend and tell her no.
How long have you been dating her?
Almost a year now.
About, and who are these guys?
They're longtime friends that she's had forever. I mean, she doesn't really have any girlfriends. She has a bunch of guy friends.
Oof.
And I've met them all. I've met them all, and, you know, they seem like pretty cool guys, but, you know, at the same time, it gets to me every single time she goes out with them.
Here's the thing. What's your girlfriend look like?
She's hot.
Active?
She's hot.
No, I mean, you're calling from Riverside. You mean Riverside hot, or you mean hot outside, you know, in L.A.
Hot. She lives in Rancho, so, I mean, she's not
Cucamonga.
In different cities. So.
She's over in Rancho.
Yeah.
All right, and you're 20. What do you got going?
Well, I'm a loan officer. I mean, I make pretty good money.
All right, professional.
But at the same time, I met her before I started this career. So when she met me, I was a cable guy. So it was
okay.
Like, you know.
And who are the other guys?
Just friends that she's had.
From high school?
You know, cable guy, milkman.
Pool man, gardener.
Yeah.
It's a little weird, we got to admit. And you can be sure if she's hot, all the guys do want to have sex with her. There's no doubt about that.
But let me.
But it does, guy, so I know that that's
yeah, but it doesn't mean she. But it, yeah, yeah, but it doesn't mean she can't set limits with those guys and maintain friendships. It's possible.
But let me explain to you. There's some women who are in because for women the whole actual intercourse part I've found out through to my dismay, by the way, is not at the top of their list. They like being desired.
Right.
So for a lot of women, they'll be okay with just hanging around with five guys as long as they know the five guys want to F them.
Dancing.
They're cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we can go see a movie and we can go out to dinner and never actually do it. We can move on with our lives.
And
the
worst
with the guys, it's exactly the opposite.
Plus, she's got the bullpen there ready to go.
Yeah, I think some of the girls will keep these guys around just in case in the back of their head it doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
They got their options open.
Yeah, more in the middle
we'll
of their head.
Just keep in touch.
Yeah. Hey, Jeremy.
Yeah, I'm here.
Now, here's the other thing about these guys. You can sort of sniff a guy and tell whether he's a shark or a, whether he's
trouble.
Whether he's a Mako shark or a nurse shark. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I hear you. Yeah.
They're all sharks, but some of them are much more docile than the others.
Well, some are, some are much more dangerous than others. Very few are.
But you know those guys, kind of look at him. It's a guy from the office. You look at him, you just know he's harmless. Even if he has his weird fantasies, there's no way she would ever entertain them.
Right.
Right?
Good point.
I mean, you can really size up a guy as another guy and go, once in a while you get surprised and then you get angered and then delighted. Phil from accounting, ass man? What? Oh. All right.
Bully.
Okay.
Bully.
Yes. Huzzah. Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, so what about these guys, Are these those kind of guys?
Well, it's tough to say. I mean, they're all
sharks.
Different.
Do they have girlfriends?
Tiger sharks or nurse sharks?
I mean, all guys are sharks. I mean,
do they have girlfriends?
I'm sorry?
Do they have girlfriends?
One of them does. The other are single.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just sort of bothered like you are.
Yeah, it's also one of these things, though, where if she met a guy, she'd known a guy since the ninth grade because he was best friends with her brother or something. That's one thing. And if they dated 6 months ago and broke it off, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
some of them are ex-boyfriends, like three of them, I think, are ex-boyfriends from the past. And it's just kind of tough because I really
you might want to just propose to her what she would feel like if you hung out with your ex-girlfriends, or maybe you could even arrange that.
Yeah.
It's just
go ahead and hang out with my ex tonight. How do you feel?
Yeah. Right. Except for that's his right hand.
I know.
But they do the little lipstick and the senior went,
Saturday.
Yeah. That's teamwork, baby, right
that's
there.
Good.
Drew, stop making noise. All right. Let's say
magic.
Let's hear a little something from Bad Religion, shall we?
Yes.
This one. We know this one. We like this one. It's called Los Angeles is Burning.
Never look behind the scenery.
Bad Religion for you from The Empire Strikes First. Greg, not that Greg, the other Greg from Bad Religion in tonight. Brooks in tonight. Should we take a call or should we service? What? Huh? Self-medicates? Huh? Can't orgasm.
There you go.
Masturbation?
Oh my gosh. There you go. Take that one.
Amy?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I've been sexually active since I've been 18, and I can't orgasm no matter what.
So you have no orgasms during direct contact or masturbation or intercourse?
Anything. I've tried masturbation. Okay. I've tried vibrators.
That would be normal, and it's very common for women not to have orgasm prior to the age of their early 20s. So you should be, things should start happening pretty soon. It seems as though there's very limited literature on this, medical literature out there.
Well, what do they know?
That they sort of come online in their early 20s. Some women start at 5, but a lot of women just can't, that biology doesn't sync up until early 20s.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be one of these people that has orgasm with intercourse. That's just not going to happen.
Maybe we could hook up.
But should.
Keep my streak alive.
Working with a boyfriend, if you had a relationship, the oral sex, that sort of thing. Somebody should
figure
that out.
The Iron Man of no orgasms. But you got Lou Gehrig of no orgasms.
Except you got the oral thing down.
Huh?
Your cluster bombing, whatever you do, technique.
Mm.
Carpet bombing.
Well, I can provide. Yeah. No, I mean through intercourse.
Yeah.
Through
intercourse.
Did you say carpet bombing?
That's my approach orally on a woman. You know, I don't have pinpoint accuracy.
What if they have no carpet down there? Can you still carpet bomb?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is phrase. I'm taking out a lot of collateral damage, as we call it.
So, you know, Amy, just no, you have a boyfriend now?
Yeah, I've been with my boyfriend for 2.5 years.
You're 21, so you get hooked up when you're 18?
Well, I had a boyfriend when I turned 18, and I dated a while with a few different guys, and I've been with this one guy for 2.5 years, and I've never had an orgasm.
So you've been with this guy since you're 18?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember I asked that 20 minutes
yeah,
ago?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Let's convene for a quick second here, and we'll take a break and finish with Amy when we come back. But I sort of feel my standard advice is, if you've been with someone since you're 18 and you're now 21,
maybe time to move along.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Even if things are sort of okay.
Yes, I agree with you.
If I would say, would you agree with me? And tell me if you don't. If things are anything but great, you know, when you're together with someone those 3 years from 18 to 21, or even if it's 17
hard,
to
though,
20 or whatever.
It's hard for them to be objective about that. They think of it as my life without this
no,
is impossible.
I understand they think, well, I've invested a lot of time in this person and this person's my soulmate and all that. But if things are anything
you're not
but
excited
great,
about this,
if
yeah.
things are anything but great and you're not making plans to get married, I say move on because you need to experience life and partners
including,
and people
including
and all
ending
that.
Relationships. You know how need to know how to end them and when they need to be ended and how to end them.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's an interesting part of life that, you know, everyone sort of focuses on, you know, job interviews and how to land chicks and all that kind of stuff. They never really focus on the part where when it's time to quit the job, when it's time to get a new girlfriend, when it's time or how, what it's when you get broken up with, how you should react. Like it's all
good
this
point.
Sort of. You know, it's a weird thing. Let me say this. Mm. Wow, I'm getting heavy tonight. No. This is some heavy stuff. We always talk about this sort of preparing for the worst, whatever it is, emergency-wise, you know, whether it's air travel or whatever. It's always long-winded nothings about what you should do and look for an exit and do this and buckle this and strap in that and raise your hand if you, and all this sort of stuff. But we never really talk about emotionally what happens when you get fired, when you get dumped, when you get attacked, when you get whatever. And then everyone just falls apart, freaks out, or does whatever. Or how to get out. How to effectively get out of a relationship without your partner killing themselves. Or how to give your boss 2 weeks' notice without, you know, having him call everyone you know and tell him never hire this
a-hole
again.
And I suspect
again.
Even more importantly, how do you know when that time has arrived?
Heavy. Boy.
Someone should write a book. Absolutely. Where's Graffin when
Absolutely.
You need
Absolutely.
Him?
Write a book. Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. Bad Religion and Stu tonight. We'll be right back after this.
Loveline's phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. We'll be right back.
Yeah, Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam.
Hello.
That's Dr. Drew. Greg's here tonight. Brooke's here tonight.
Yo.
Bad Religion here tonight. Guys are going to be going out. Not the Cannon with Pennywise, and also going to be in the
Anti-Flag is playing with us as well. Another fine rock combo.
Going to be over in Agora on the 20th this Thursday, and then Vegas, and then Redlands. All right, and we'll hear something else off CD when in the 11 o'clock hour. All right, Drew, what do you want to do?
Here we go, Lindsay.
Lindsay?
We're done with Amy, right, with the Cannon orgasm?
I thought you put her on hold to talk to her, no?
Yeah.
Finish.
Amy?
Him?
Yeah.
Her? Yeah, see, it's good radio. Amy?
Yeah?
All right.
So have you tried vibrators and things like that?
Yeah, I've tried pretty much everything.
And how about your boyfriend? Does he know what he's doing?
Yeah, he's pretty good at what he's doing. It's like, I enjoy it, but I don't get to, you know, what I think I should get. It just doesn't really go anywhere. It feels good, but there's no peak.
Yeah. Are you into the guy? Are you in love with the guy?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Even though Adam thinks you should move along.
What's he do for a living?
He works a desk job at this computer thing.
Nice.
He just got the job. He was working at Starbucks before, so.
Okay.
Somehow it's more romantic working at Starbucks.
That's it. You should write science fiction, by the way, Amy, that crazy imagination. Works his desk job at a computer thing.
Something. Yeah. Well-rounded.
Yeah. All right, so he's a computer person?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's very sad and disappointing that fully 90% of the people we ask, like when we say, what's your dad do, or what's your boyfriend do, or what's your husband do, I have to ask a follow-up question. He works retail. Okay, where does he work? What kind of stuff does he sell? Stuff. What kind of stuff? Stuff comes from factory. So it's like, it's what's my line? Arlene Francis is going to flip over all the cards. We're going to take our blindfolds off. Like, you know,
if it's Wally Cox.
Yeah, if anyone asks me what I do, I or whatever the answer is, I sort of treat everything like they're directions. You know, if someone goes, how do you get to Universal Studios from here? I'm not going to go, over that way.
Just go.
Yeah. Like, I head northeast. Like, I will say, you have to finish. Like, here's when you're done answering, when you think the person understands what you do or whatever the question is.
Yeah.
So we've gotten away from that as a society. We're just sort of okay with stuff.
Too vague.
Yeah, it's sort of, we're moving on. I guess what they're saying is we're moving on.
Yeah, I've said enough.
Or I'm not interested in it, so neither are you. You're not going to be either. All right.
Maybe so this girl's into girls. Maybe we didn't explore that, did we?
She would have said something about that.
Okay.
Sure.
Amy?
Yeah?
So you're very much in love with the guy who does something with computers at a desk?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Not one of those guys that runs in place and works on the computer. Just guy sitting at a desk?
Yeah, he just sits at his desk and programs sprinkler systems, basically for the county.
We're talking about life in the fast lane.
This is the guy you've been wanting to talk to, by the way.
Hold on. I'm picturing this guy.
He's a rebel.
I'm picturing, yeah. There's a picture.
This is the guy that's responsible.
Off,
yeah.
Mustache, hair slick back.
Absolutely.
Driving a hog, fully dressed hog.
Yeah, but tattoo of sprinklers.
He's got that thing to screw the helmet on this thing.
This is a mitzvah. This is
the guy. Yeah, I'll get into that. Hold on, Drew. Stop
this
jumping
is that
in,
guy.
Would you please? I know, but can you you stop clinging to your joke for a second? Let us finish ours. I know. Sometimes we have to just talk out loud about comedy theory. But Drew, I don't understand what you're saying.
Fair enough.
Amy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have these. Yeah, we have those sprinkler guys here, except for they don't program anything. Because what happens is I see the sprinklers going off while it's pouring rain all the time when I'm driving along the freeway, and then I see a bumper sticker on a city truck that says "Conserve Water," and I think that about says it all, doesn't it, everybody?
Here's that's true.
Here's what you should do. Here's what we're not doing.
And you notice down there the DWP building's all lit up 24 hours a day. The fountains are going. In the middle of a drought.
Save
the rolling blackouts. Yeah.
Right, right. Here's the thing. They have little things called rain sensors. They're $18. You give them at Home Depot, and they've been around for 28 years. And they stop the sprinklers times a million sprinkler heads in this city from going off. You could go ahead and put one of those in there. Sort of like that thing that tells you it's nighttime, so the street lights come on. You can go ahead and
same
do that.
Idea.
So when it's been raining, like remember we set the record for rain. We had the torrential downpours and everything was flooding and stuff was breaking off and floating to Santa Barbara and stuff like that. You don't have to have the sprinklers actually going off in the middle of the news stories about the biblical flooding.
Right.
Yep. Save a couple million gallons.
Could
easy.
Be.
And then we might listen to you when he tells to conserve water. And then, of course, the other bumper sticker and senior abuse. That's the one. That's where it's like, that's where I'm kicking in the front door of the senior living right now. I'm doing a shoulder roll. I'm going to take someone down. Something's been going on. I smell trouble. All right, Bad Religion. What are we supposed to do at that point? Follow guy looks like a perp. This guy looks like he's driving to grandpa's house. May abuse him. I'm going to stake it out. Or is that just supposed to wake up something in me that makes me realize it's wrong to beat the crap out of my grandma every
night?
That's
the one.
That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I did a little soul searching when I was behind the street sweeper that said, and senior abuse. And you know what? You're right. I'm going to pack it up. No more. I'm moving on to my mom. All right. Let's take a quick break. Bad Religion in tonight. We'll be right back after this. Loveline, I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Greg Brooks here tonight from Bad Religion. The Empire Strikes First, name of the CD. We will, it's November 2nd. So it's been out almost a year, right?
I think over a year, yeah.
I think it came out, yeah.
Oh, November 2nd. Oh, I'm sorry.
November 2nd is when we start the
tour.
Yeah,
that's the tour date. Yeah. Sorry. It was above the thing. I should have read that right, Drew. That's my fault. My bad.
How dare you?
As my people like to say. Yes, the tour starts with Pennywise and others on November 2nd. We will, you want to talk to Lindsay over here?
Yeah.
All right. Lindsay?
Yeah, hi.
17?
Yeah. So about a month ago, I was diagnosed with something called cervicitis. And it's a sexually transmitted disease.
The cervicitis is just describing what's going on. It means inflammation of the cervix.
You know, it also sounds like a uniform company. You know, company guys with fans who provide professional uniforms for janitorial staff, nursing staffs, professional law. It's a guy with a blue cap and he's on the move. Cervicitis. Friendly man from the cervicitis van will come.
Uniform service.
Fill your uniform needs from the biggest company. Nothing says professional like uniformity.
Yeah. And cervicitis.
Cervicitis is number one. Serving the Southland for over a quarter century.
Slightly different. I see it with an S, but this is with a C.
Oh, I see it with an S, too. Yeah. But that's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, but if you heard it, you couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they'll do the cleaning. They'll do the fitting. They do a short sleeve. They also have a winter thing. They'll even provide a down to the shoes, by the way, in hands.
Will they provide the cervical caps for the cervix?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah.
It's part of cervicitis.
Yeah. Lindsay?
So, Lindsay, what was it caused by? What was the sexually transmitted disease you had?
All right. So,
listen. What was the sexually transmitted disease you had? What was causing the cervicitis?
Nothing. Like, they wouldn't tell. Like, I went to Planned Parenthood and I got, discharge and it was hurting a lot. And so
they didn't do the cultures to figure out what it was.
They did. They tried to test me for chlamydia and syphilis and they said I didn't have either of them and they gave me a pamphlet and they were like, you have cervicitis.
Okay, well, herpes would be one of the more common causes of cervicitis that did not have a bacterial cause.
Good people at Cervicitis are running a specialist month on name tags. Get your up to five letters.
You're actually sponsoring this Bad Religion tour.
Oh, really?
Cervicitis?
Yeah, this upcoming tour that we're
going. You guys have to wear the shirts up there and the off-white pants. Yeah, tucked in, belt, looking good. Yeah, Drew, what about it? I like that?
Yeah, it's perfect.
And they drive those vans. They're sort of like UPS vans.
White,
like
white with the blue print
van
on the side. Yeah.
Cervicitis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sort of a 1940s guy on the move, too.
Yeah, and during the commercial is the one guy pulls up to clean the carpets, and he's wearing a wife beater and cut-off sweats and flip-flops. It's like, would you let this guy in your house? And then the next guy pulls in. White guy, tucked in, nice build. Cervicitis uniform recipient. You know what I mean? Put your name, your company logo on the side.
Guy's carrying some sort of tool bag with
them. They're also expanding into softball uniforms, by the way, for the company picnics and things like that.
Nice.
That's a good idea, right?
That's great.
Put your company logo right on the back of that jersey. Wow. Write this down, Drew. This is big stuff.
So, Lindsay, this could be herpes.
But they tested me. They said that I didn't, like, wouldn't they have told me if I had this?
How do they test for the herpes, right? How do they treat this?
How do they treat it?
Did they give you an antibiotic?
They gave me something to drink. It was just
Lindsay, something to drink. Yeah, it's azithromycin. But Lindsay, you're behaving as though you're the first person to have cervicitis. It's extremely common. Okay.
I just don't really understand what it is. Like,
it's
It's
an inflammation of the cervix. It's an STD that hasn't gone up into the tubes yet, but it's on its way there. And fortunately, they got it before it ascended all the way. It's probably chlamydia, even though you tested negative, or some other bacterial pathogen. They could probably give you a shot, too. Is that right?
No. I was just going to recommend that she speak to a friendly rep and talk about volume discounts for companies more than 75 employees. You know what I mean? Because they will pass along.
Did they give you a shot in addition to the powder?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, could I get to my question real quick?
Let me just ask you this. We're trying to figure out what you got. Did they give you a shot in addition to the powder?
No, the powder.
Just the powder, not a shot
No, not a shot.
Okay. So anyway, what's your question?
They'll give you a break on companies larger than 25. It goes in 25 increments. 25, larger than 50, larger than 75. Sure. And then as you get to 150, the breaks keep continuing.
Nice. Oh, nice.
Yeah, go ahead, Lindsay. They pass along. Go ahead. Thailand days, by the way. They got a
limited time course. Only.
Right. Go ahead.
I've only been with one person, and my ex-boyfriend, I was his first as well, so I don't really understand how it could have been sexually transmitted if he's never, like...
He's never been with anyone, and she hasn't, Drew. What do you think?
Well...
Yeah, I just don't understand, like, how I would...
Maybe it was more of a vaginitis than a cervicitis, and this was something...
That's another company.
Which is just really an inflammation of the vagina and can be caused by pathogens from the sort of rectal area and that sort of thing. Something got mixed in there that got growing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or maybe it's a herpes and he didn't know it. Maybe it was from his mouth or something.
Yeah.
It's still a possibility.
Vaginitis.
So could it happen like if you wipe the wrong way? Could that cause the...
Vaginitis. But it wouldn't cause the cervicitis typically.
All
so
right. Mm-hmm.
She's right to be a little confused. This is a little bit confusing what's going on here because they allegedly both don't have something. She doesn't have a definitive diagnosis. She seemed to have gotten better with an antibiotic, but maybe it was herpes and just got better anyway. So I would suggest, Lindsay, you do see a gynecologist to kind of straighten this stuff out a little bit.
Who do most people wipe with their hand, their good hand or their bad hand? I was thinking about this the other day.
Imagine good hand.
Imagine good hand. Because it's weird, you know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm following.
Yeah?
I'm just saying.
Drew, what do you think? Good hand, right-handed?
You got to go where the
hand,
coordination is best.
You got to dance with the hand that got you there?
Yeah.
So the hand you shake everyone's hand with.
Sure.
That's the hand you wipe with?
Yeah.
Brooks? Right or left?
I'm ambidextrous.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I...
Are you ambidextrous in all things?
But you're just wiping.
Just wiping.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Interesting. Just wiping. But you probably land more on one hand than the other. Do you like to surprise
yourself?
Yeah,
I'm right-handed, so probably more with the right.
Or right hand. Greg, you think right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I'm lefty, but I go right.
Well, you're a little bit ambidextrous.
I'm very ambidextrous, but...
You're ranging. What are you going to do?
No, I don't know if I could do it with my left. Well, it's weird. It's like once you get used...
Well, drop it and let's give a demonstration, see which we need to see.
I'll flop top if you drop trow.
You bat left-handed or right-handed?
Drew, you know the direction.
He's a switch hitter.
I'm lefty. Right. I'm a lefty through and through.
All right.
It's just certain things. I don't know. Here's what I have a theory on. Whatever side of the wall you're freed up on, depends how your toilet is laid out, you know, because some of them have sort of L shape. There's always the back wall that the toilet's against, obviously. And then sometimes there's a wall that pinches you on the right, and sometimes there's one that pinches you on the left. Whatever one you get used to, you want to bang your elbow on the tile. I think you whatever you grew up with.
It seems like they mostly go on the left, too, because
the dispenser.
Because that's where the sink comes to the edge, and then there's the toilet.
Well, I'm trying to go through my house and my mind's toilet eye right now, trying to figure it out. But they sort of flip flop. It sort of just depends how the bathroom is laid out and how whatever. I mean, I've been a builder for many years, and then there's no code that says you have to do it on this side or that side or even behind you or wherever. You just kind of do wherever you want.
Yeah.
Interesting. I bet if you grew up on a house that was a little tight on one side, you will be trained when you're sort of, you know, this, like, it's easier to pick up a language or an instrument.
Well,
when
not
you're
that.
Younger.
I mean, every parent knows that only the child that possessed by the devil is wiped with the left hand. So the parents are on the kids about that.
That is very satanic.
From age two and on, they're just saying, no, not your left hand. No, no.
Well,
no.
I know certain cultures have addressed this, maybe in Indian cultures, Eastern Indian, but I would go ahead and try to start a movement, pardon the pun, where we focus on getting the toilet paper out of the handshake hand and into the hand in the pocket hand. Just go ahead and put it in the left hand.
But there's lots of potential for inaccurate, you know, hits and misses.
You're not
using the ultra coordinated hand. You might be more likely to expose.
Drew,
and then
this
you're
is why.
And
then you got vaginitis. You never.
No, this is leads to that. This is why we start early and often. No, Drew, here's how it goes.
She had a yeast infection and didn't even have bacterial infection. Nah, that wouldn't have gone away.
Here's my point. Once you learn to do something with that hand, that other hand, that's just it. Like if you play the guitar and you learn the fingerings with the bad hand, switching around doesn't do it. And like for me, I drive a manual shift. I shift with my right hand. Wouldn't even feel good to do it with my good hand.
Right.
Well, it's repetition.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a boxer. He gets used to jabbing with his bad hand and throwing his cross with his other hand. It just wouldn't feel right to turn him around. So once you get those kids potty trained with the left hand, then it frees up the right hand for shaking.
You're right.
Okay?
They'll
or we switch the handshake to the left.
Mm. Or you shake depending on what you use to wipe.
Drew, do you have chocolate in your mouth?
You can't hear that.
How old are you? You sound like Truman Capote. Are you kidding me?
He's not sharing either.
No, he's not. He's eating the whole Easter basket
for
himself.
But look, whichever hand you wipe with is you shake with the other one.
You run into a guy and you're riding a lefty and now you're screwed.
You're right.
You got to give the guy the fist or the elbow or something.
We got to switch to elbows anyway.
I'm with you. I'm just saying if 90% of the country wipes the ass with the right hand, let's go ahead and shift the handshake hand to the left hand. Would you say it's safe to say we're about 90%?
I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even me as a lefty goes righty just because I'm sympathetic. Plus, that's my left hand. I like to be freed up for a magazine or if there's an intruder.
Well, it's expression of the man's imprint
fight,
on you.
Fight somebody off. All right. Where are we, Drew? Back to the phone?
Yeah, I'll fight you with my wiping hands.
Steve, 23?
Yeah. How you doing, guys?
Good.
All right, here's the deal. I take 225 milligrams of Effexor every day, and sexual side effects have been kicking in lately.
Yeah, lately. My goodness, at that dose.
Well,
is it regular Effexor or Effexor XR?
XR.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I've been taking it for about 3 years for severe depression, and now when I have sex, it's like it takes a very long time to ejaculate, or it doesn't even happen at all sometimes.
And how's the depression doing?
Depression's fine. I'm in remission. I feel pretty good.
Yeah, so the cost or the sort of risk of stopping or reducing the antidepressants could be huge.
Right.
Well, what if he downgrades his dose a little bit?
Well, that's one possibility. Talk to your doctor about that. There are three antidepressants that do not cause sexual side effects. That's Cerazone, Wellbutrin, and Remeron. You can sometimes add Wellbutrin, although to Effexor it gets a little dicey, but you can add Wellbutrin, and that sometimes helps with the side effects.
I've been on Wellbutrin before, but it didn't work well with me.
I understand, but if you add it to the Effexor, sometimes you can reduce the sexual side effects.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other things people have tried, cyproheptine, all kinds of funny little things. So you talk to your doctor about it. It's something worth addressing. I mean, your doctor should be skilled. Is it a psychiatrist you're saying, yes?
That's correct.
Yeah, he or she should be skilled in helping you with this because it's such a common side effect.
Okay.
All right. Hey, good times there, Steve.
All right.
You wipe with the right hand or the left hand?
He took off.
Oh, he took off? That's it?
That's it. He's satisfied.
He got
satisfied
his answer and just kept moving?
Yeah.
Let's do an informal survey. William?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. You wipe with the right hand or the left hand?
Right hand. I am left-handed.
Oh, see?
Can we keep? Is that someone's keeping score? Because we should tally this up.
Yeah.
It's going to be 100% right.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a lefty and I go right, and
like
William's a lefty and goes right.
It's just
for
the
me,
man.
It's
the
just
man.
A little, hey, if you're giving me the S hand, I'll give you my S hand.
Yeah.
Why should you give me my pristine hand when you're giving me one that's been dipped in fecal matter?
A little S turn deserves another.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This cheek ain't turning. giving it to you. It's wiping. And hold on a second, William. Pile through here. Patrick?
Yeah.
Right hand or left hand on the wiping?
I gotta go with right hand.
Now I'm gonna predict. I'm gonna pick the women are a little more flexible. Like with all things, let's see.
I'll predict with women they don't know. They will actually have to take it number two. In order to figure hands. It out.
Well, they have more to look at. They don't know their left from the right.
I'm predicting.
That's a problem too, right? Yeah.
All right, April. Here, let's talk to April.
Here's what I'll suggest. If I were a chick, I use one hand for number one and the other for number two.
Yeah, of course.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot, better, of, pot, lot of time on the pot. April?
Hey.
What hand do you wipe with when you're on the pot?
The right.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now look. We have to change the handshake. Let's go with the clean hand, everyone, not the fecal hand. Huh?
That'd be all right. Elbows.
Well, wait, I don't know.
Avian flu's coming along here.
Here's what I'm saying. Are we ever going to seal any business deal with an elbow? You know what I mean?
Yes, eventually. We'll become
Time
used
Warner's
to it.
Buying out Qualcomm.
We can have an embrace. Elbow and a brace.
Yeah. No. Look, I'm being realistic. We're not going to get rid of the handshake. Let's switch it to the non-fecal hand.
All right?
Because we're at 100% on right.
Yeah.
We've surveyed four people in this room and talked to four or five out of this room, and we're all right.
Rick,
what do you got?
Right or left?
I'm right-handed.
There you go.
All right.
That's it. That's the only thing. We have to do something now.
I mean, there's also, we also can be bring in what fingers they use to pick their nose, left or right hand, too.
I bet that's more right, too. And that's, by the way, the staff lives in your nose. That's how you get staph infections.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Staph aureus, absolutely.
Well, the thing, I would also say this about the picking the nose.
And by the way, first I'll say, how dare you, because I know that's sacred territory for you.
The lion's share of the nose picking, at least at the Corolla house, goes on in the Corolla car.
Yeah,
I do the picking at night. That's my thing. I sometimes will get in the car and just drive around the block to pick my nose.
Don't we all?
I feel that powerful. It's that important to me that I will get in my car and drive around the block just see if I can get some, you know, get myself in the mood.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So the lion's share of the picking goes on when I'm on the road. And the other thing is you want your good hand on the wheel, I would assume. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like you're using your right hand.
You want your good hand to pick your nose, but you also want your good hand firm in the wheel.
What are you doing, picking left or right?
That's tough. I have to get my car. I think I'm picking with my right.
Okay.
I got my business hand on the wheel. I don't want to get
even more evidence on why we should, you know, switch to the left.
Yeah, I think most folks do the nose picking with the same hand they do the wiping with.
Where do you flick them?
I'll go ashtray or out the window. But
I've seen his floor mat.
That flick move out the window is a telltale sign.
By the way, go look at the side of his car when you go out there.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll take a picture. True. How dare you attack me this way? And here's the other thing, too. There's nothing else you're doing when you're doing that hand roll thing out the thing with the thing. Everyone, you just might as well just pull a flag up over your car just nose picking. Because that is alerting the world that you're picking yours. There's nothing else. It's not like, well, I got a Mike and Ike or Juju B stuck to my finger, or I just like to randomly hold my finger out and do that weird rolly thing.
Can you do the sunroof? Either way, everyone knows
what's going on. There's nothing else going on.
Yeah, you're getting busy.
Thought I spilt hot coffee, and so I'm hanging my hand out the window doing the weird rolly thing. There really needs to be another thing you do that does that other than picking the nose. Let's work on that, Drew.
Should we talk
to William?
Yeah.
Let me just ask John real fast, see what he knows about the right hand. John?
Yeah?
The hand you wipe your butt with after the number two, right or left hand?
Right hand.
Right hand.
Wait, let's ask his question. It's a quick one. Mm. What's your question, John?
Oh, wow. We're 100% in the right hand department.
I'm not surprised.
It crosses gender lines, racial lines, religious lines. It's all about the right hand. That's it. I'm starting a new campaign for left hand shake. John?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I had an STD test done, which included a HIV test, right?
Yeah.
And the clinic that I went to, they do two tests for HIV, you know, HIV 1, HIV 2. Mm-hmm. Both of those came back non-reactive. And then, but the test for the HIV antibody, it came back reactive. Mm-hmm. So what the doctor told me was that could be nothing, because it's a pretty non-specific test. It could be nothing, but it could be something. So I'm just wondering, what is HIV antibody? What does all that mean as far as the test goes?
The test that most people get is the antibody test. When you talk about being HIV positive, you're really talking about the antibody test.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The problem is, because that's a screening test, it has to capture everybody that actually has the virus. But for it to be accurate and capture all of those people, it also carries with it the possibility of being positive for people that actually don't have the virus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not super accurate that way.
Can't let anyone slip by.
Right.
So it can't be as accurate as it would be.
Exactly. So you,
but they figure you'll take a second test. It's more accurate,
so
they told me to come back in about 3 or 4 months.
Well, no, that's different. They do a second test then called a Western blot test, which is what he had done, which was negative. And there, a lot of people have positive antibody screens and end up not having the virus. Mm-hmm. Now, the one, I guess, risk they're concerned about is could this be early in an infection where you're just mounting an antibody response before you have detectable virus around? That's very unlikely, but it's worth getting back screening.
Is all the screenings looking for the antibody?
Screenings, yeah.
Because
but people will...
The infection wouldn't show up?
No, you can do it that way. There's specific DNA tests that will pick it up earlier,
mm-hmm.
but it's not quite as accurate the way a screening test should be.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you want a test that doesn't miss anybody
right.
that has the virus.
All right.
In other words, the antibody reacts before the virus really begins getting produced.
Well, should John be worried? So the antibody test is better because it can catch it earlier.
Yes. It sounds like he shouldn't be worried, but definitely get retested in 3 months.
What do you got? What's the deal with HPV in females, man? Like, you know, like as far as like, is there a cancerous kind and is there another kind, or is it
yes.
all the same thing?
No.
And what
different.
About those HEPA filters? As long as we're just sort of staying with the HE and
sure,
HP, and
right.
what is that?
The
high efficiency. What?
Yeah,
what does that stand
right.
for?
The HPV is very, very common. Some of the viruses cause cervical cancer.
What about
some
HR puffing stuff?
But
who's going on with that there? Is there an antibody test for that?
But the ones that cause cancer, there is a vaccine being tested now that looks extremely effective and I think will be out. I think all young people will be getting this vaccine within the next year.
What about H.G. Wells?
I think HPV will be gone in a year.
Did he write that 30,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
War of the Worlds?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he did the Leagues, too.
And that was
somebody
Jules
else.
Verne.
That was Jules Verne, yeah.
Ah, good old Jules.
Yeah, yeah. What about him, Drew?
Jules Mandel.
It started with an H. Do you have any answers for that?
Yeah. Huh? What's the H stand for, anyway?
Which H?
H.G. Wells?
I don't know. I don't know.
Get on the computer there. Look it up.
Yeah, get on the computer.
Let's research that.
We got to take a break.
Bad boy.
Oh, we got to take a break? William?
Hey, yeah. Can you guys get to my call after the break?
Okay.
Oh, thanks.
Good strategy.
No, but Wednesday.
He knows we cut him short.
It'll technically be after the break. You realize any time in the next in foreseeable future is after the break. Yeah. Everything will come after this break.
Herbert.
Wow, that was fast.
Herbert George. I learned so much tonight on Live Line.
All mm-hmm. right, hang on there, William. We'll take your call after the break. Bad Religion is here tonight. We'll be right back after this.
Huh?
Love Line.
Okay, wait. My hair.
Oh. We'll be right back.
Huh? Yeah, buddy. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Bad Religion in studio tonight. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hear something else off the Bad Religion CD. Let's talk to William, who made us promise. We talked to him when we got back from the break. William?
Hey, guys. 4 quick comments real quick. Number one, Dr. Drew, I love your book, When Painkillers Become Dangerous and Crap.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Two books.
Adam, I love you and your silver car that I've seen on the Adam Carolla Project.
Mm.
Oh, the Z.
Yeah.
Mm, thank you. Thank you.
Bad Religion, you guys rock. I love all your music.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And number 4, Anderson Cowan, I love you, dude.
Wow. Full name. Didn't even know that was his last name.
A little scary.
Yeah. William.
Yes, sir.
Virgin, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, any guy takes the time to learn Anderson's last name ain't getting any.
Yeah.
Takes energy. The energy's going somewhere.
No, there's the thing. It's like when you start getting laid in high school, that's where your entire focus becomes just getting laid.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have time for the minutiae or the trivia part of life at all.
And he said it right, too. He didn't say Cohen like everybody else.
Yeah. Go ahead, William.
Okay, guys, I've been using marijuana for the last year to treat my back pain that I've had since I was about 10 years of age. I don't know where I got the back
pain. Big wheel accident.
Huh. I don't know I got the back pain from.
T-boned by Chopper Roo.
Oh.
Yeah, tough. Pretty ugly. The guy in the chopper room didn't make it.
They didn't bunch up the big wheels.
Burst into flames. They couldn't get him out.
Started a race.
So you've had pain, back pain, since you were 10.
Yes, sir. I went to my family doctor to see what he can do, but he won't give me anything stronger than Advil because I've been known to abuse medication in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I abused Prozac for depression.
You abused Prozac?
Yeah.
Wow.
Are you a trauma survivor? Were you abused in some fashion growing up?
Yeah, I was abused physically by my dad.
Yeah, so that create, you know, when you get abuse, whether it's physical or sexual abuse, and even neglect sometimes, your brain confuses emotional pain and physical pain. It really, mm-hmm. How pain feels, literally the feeling associated with pain becomes something very intense, and feelings and pain and physical and emotional pain get all jumbled up.
Mm-hmm.
And so the pain you get in your back can be very intense and overwhelming, but the reality is, it's not coming from some source in your back. It's coming from a source in your brain. And if you've been prone to using opiates, that really puts some supercharge behind it. And marijuana will perpetuate that.
Mm. Hey, William.
Yes, sir.
You're obviously a man of discerning taste and high intelligence because you're a fan of the show. And you're one of these guys that's smart, but you got abused, and that could screw up your life. And now you're trying to medicate yourself. But you're an intelligent guy who could really do a lot with your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why don't you do that?
Yeah, before you end up strung out on whatever, get some help with this. There's treatments for these things.
Well,
you're one of these people, you're probably these people that really would respond really well. There are psychologists that specialize in chronic pain.
Mm-hmm.
And you would probably really benefit from that.
Well, guys, what I was basically wondering is why my anus was the size of a mason jar.
Oh,
wow. Solid.
It was very well done.
Solid.
Yeah, you know, I was sitting there going, this doesn't, I don't feel addict in him. I don't feel addict. And I was going to go, no, it's going to be something different. And then he said all the right things.
Yeah, he said all the right things.
I got to trust my instincts more.
Well, you felt nerd, not addict.
I definitely felt no addict here.
Well, because guys are virgins normally.
I can just.
But you are a virgin, aren't you, William?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That part I felt right. All right, buddy. Huzzah.
Well done. Huzzah.
I said well done.
Huzzah. Three huzzahs. Congratulations.
Yeah. That's a bogus call, and that's a well-executed bogus
well
call.
You win. What does he win?
He gets a little something called satisfaction.
And pride. Pride of ownership.
Can't find in the store, and the station doesn't have to pay for it.
Maybe get a uniform from your fledgling company.
Yeah, Servicon.
Servicitis.
Servicitis. We'll have a friendly Servicitis representative. Where are you calling from? Greater Los Angeles area? We have 14 locations in the Greater Los Angeles Riverside area. We'll go ahead and have a representative. Friendly Servicitis representative come to your home, sit down with you. It's no pressure. It's no sales, no pressure to buy. They'll sit down, they'll open a catalog. We'll look at some cloth swatches, make some decisions. Do you want to go with the royal blue?
Free
do you want
cap.
To go with the Mustang white? We have many colors to choose from. And he'll drop you off a free cap just for sitting down and talking to him.
There you go. But, William, interesting.
And he'll toss in, if you do make the purchase in the month of October, we will throw in 12 of those kind of weird belts that you only see Cub Scouts wear that cinch you up. Weird, why? With the weird belt buckle thing that slides under the thing and does that thing that way.
Perfect.
That only seems to show up in scouting.
Yeah.
We'll throw in 12 of those.
Perfect.
Actually, a lot of bands are selling those these days.
Baseball uniforms sometimes have those.
Oh, they do. Those are popular.
Yeah, they're hip now.
They're popular.
But it's interesting how
limited
this
color selection. Check. You have to check your local
supplier.
So local supplier will check that. No, I don't think you can get the royal blue with those things.
Where
are we, Drew?
But how interesting, when people say the right things, you lose track of your instincts. You just start going with what's being said. It seems to trump a lot of stuff. When people say
on
the right
bogus
thing, you start going.
On the boat, well, it's easy.
If they say it right, they really fill in all the
blanks. You don't
want
to armchair quarterback a good bogus call. But I will say this. I felt it was weird that he was addicted to things and strung out on things in a nerd.
Yeah, yeah.
And a virgin.
Yeah.
It's
but nerd
weird.
Is a feeling thing. It's like, well, I feel nerd here. I don't feel addict.
Right.
It's a,
but
it's a gestalt.
The thing I was about to say to him is you're going to be the first virgin in rehab.
That's right.
Because you just they don't have the nerdy virgin guys in rehab. That's the part that wasn't
young. If you can't score in rehab, then you're a loser, right?
It's a good point. Yeah. People medicated. Yeah. Also, best people to score with, the people are going through the rapid detox. They're put under for like 3 days.
Oh,
they're just a corpse, essentially. Mm-hmm.
That's a done deal.
Yeah, that's done. Done and done. Done and done. Yes, Drew?
Yes, done.
That's
huzzah.
Huzzah, I say. All right, should we hear Bad Religion songs?
Yeah, that's a great idea. It's a great idea.
I got an idea.
Oh.
I got things to talk
what,
about.
What? Tell me.
Tell me if this. Tell me what this means, Drew. Tell me if there's something wrong with me. All right?
Okay.
All right. You guys chime in, too. Tell me if you think there's something wrong with me.
Okay, here we go.
I went to New York last week to do Letterman. I flew in. I think I land about 6:30 in the a.m. No, in the morning.
You flew overnight Wednesday night?
I flew overnight Wednesday night. Yeah. I slept a couple hours on the plane, not too much. And I landed at about 6:15, 6:30 Thursday morning.
So it's 3:30 our time.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's effed up however you slice it.
Yeah.
I got in the town car and went to the hotel, got up the room about 7:30, 8 in the morning, and promptly went to bed.
Good.
Essentially for the night.
Yeah.
I got up about now. Letterman, the car was supposed to pick me up at 3:30 to go to the do Letterman. Mm-hmm. I'd worked out a couple of beats over a couple of cocktails on the plane and stuff I was going to talk about, but nothing cemented. Mm-hmm. I went to bed about about 8 o'clock and woke up about 1:45. And when I woke up, I'm sleeping for the night. You know, it's about 5 hours and change or something.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to sleep in. I didn't want to sleep for 2 hours and then go do Letterman.
I got
about 1:45 and I woke up. There was a couple messages waiting for me from Letterman. And I thought, and you know, like call back, a little bit urgent. Everything's urgent TV, no matter what's urgent or not.
Sure.
And my first impulse was, oh, what's this? And my second impulse was, ooh, I'm getting bumped. I'm getting bumped because it happens. I remember Jimmy telling me he got bumped. They will bump your ass. Tom Cruise will do the show, and Adam Carolla will not do the show. And my first impulse was, oh, my God, I'm bumped. This is awesome.
I know.
even though I flew out to New York and waited and did the whole airport security thing and the whole thing, I thought, oh, thank Christ. I blame.
There's nothing wrong with you except for the fact that you're a product of the LA Unified School District.
Yeah.
And I blame that. I blame the fact that it was so boring and so awful for you to go to school.
Every single day I showed up, I prayed for an earthquake.
That's right.
Please strike this building with an earthquake so I can go home.
Or watch a film strip. Watch a movie.
I want to go home. Yeah. Could there please be some reason for me to go home?
Other than the school or work.
So the crazy, unyielding desire to go home trumps almost everything.
Yeah.
Even though I was in New York,
You're excited to be on Letterman. You flew all the way to New York, and you thought it was awesome that you could have gotten bumped.
I was over the moon. I thought
overjoyed.
I looked at it. Remember, it's like two calls, call back ASAP. And I thought,
this is awesome.
Oh, I'm getting bumped. And then I called back and found out, much to my shock and horror, that I was not being bumped.
What were they calling about? Just making sure you're
just
okay.
Doing that usual, go over a couple of beats before you come in, and then I was dejected. I was like a beaten team. You know, it's like, oh, when a man loses his confidence about wanting to go home. He's really a broken man. Yeah. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, you're disappointed that you're already here in New York? Drew, that is pathetic. Who else is that way?
It is pathetic. Nobody.
And let me tell you this, not nervous about doing it. I mean,
you're
not
a robot,
not
Adam. We've established that.
No, but I mean, I could understand if somebody said, well, look, if you know, you're gripped with fear and you're nerve wracked and you just didn't, you thought you were going to get up there and just clam up and break into cold sweat.
Just you. Just not doing. Fill in the blank. You're happy.
I wasn't worried that it wasn't going to go well. I wanted to go home.
Here is the only thing I could imagine you actually genuinely upset about is if you were going to go fly a model airplane, buy a new car, go fishing, or whatever, go on something you wanted to do. You'd be, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And somebody said, oh, can't make it. It's snowed in.
Right.
You go crazy.
So sad. Wow. Wow.
Is there a psychological condition is there a term for that or anything?
Yeah, Drew. What do you call that?
Cervicitis.
Just lazy.
Okay.
I think you call it no count.
No
count. No count, but you also go to accounting firm. They work in conjunction with cervicitis. need some tax preparation? Go to no count. Go to the good friendly people at no count. Sit down with some of their representatives. Yeah?
Sure.
All right, Drew. Is there anything? Am I ever going to be able to change that?
Oh,
I don't think that one's changing.
No, it's a couple years ago you might have been able to. But,
so pathetic. Window shut on that, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Expire.
You go back. No, no.
No.
No, it's done.
Well, maybe with like shock therapy or something.
I was just thinking maybe send you back to school or something, but who am I kidding?
All right. We will. Now you talk so much, Drew, we don't get to hear Bad Religion. So. But we will. We'll take a break and we'll come back here to Bad Religion. Also, never
April.
Uses protection. Yeah, I'll speak to April. Got pregnant.
Wipes with
hasn't
hand.
Gotten pregnant. Right hand?
Yeah, right hand.
Oh, we spoke to her. Yeah. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
This is Loveline.
Loveline will be right back.
That's Dr. Drew, Greg and Brooks here tonight from Bad Religion. Empire Strikes First, name of the CD. We'll hear another cut off that. First, we'll speak to April, right-handed April.
Yeah, well, right-handed wiping April. We didn't establish what hand she uses, what's the good hand.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't ask her, are you right-handed or left-handed? Which hand you
I'm going to do the math. And say she's right-hander.
Well, we established that everybody goes with the right hand on the wipe.
I was thinking, I was in the bathroom peeing. Like, what? I use my left hand to hold my penis when I pee, but my dominant hand's the right. So we need to get on that tip.
Yeah, but that's just touching your skin.
Urine's sterile.
Yeah.
And that's just touching your pepe. Yeah. Yeah, unless it's been in someone's ass.
Do you use your left?
Then we got to talk. Like, but Drew's penis covered in fecal matter.
Right, use your left or right hand to hold your penis.
It's like a pecan lock. It's like urine coming out of a pecan log.
But it's auto-inoculation if you and I'm just saying.
Oh, buddy. Why'd you have to go there?
It's the thumb and index finger.
Don't go there. Yeah. I'll drop trial if you go there.
Don't drop trial.
April?
Uh-huh.
Well, you did drop. Oh, I'm just saying.
You sound like a disaster. What happened to you?
Nothing, man.
Mm-mm.
Right,
where's
dude.
Your dad?
I'm 20.
Oh, you are angry, baby.
I'm not angry, dude.
Yeah. Where's your dad? Where is your dad?
Oh, she's high, too.
He's in prison.
How do we know that? Magically.
Shocker. Shocker. Shock. All right, Drew, read what the screen says.
Never uses protection with fiance. Hasn't gotten pregnant. Sterile.
Says anything about her being angry?
No.
Anything about her hating men?
No.
Anything about her dad being in prison?
No, that just jumped out through the phone.
Yeah. PO'd at the man.
Yeah.
And man. Oh, you angry, baby.
I'm not angry, man.
Yeah. No, sure. You're jovial. Your dad's in the joint.
I've never met him, man.
Yeah.
Did we do it?
Why is your dad in prison?
I've never met him.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's in prison for beating his
sister. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had to put her on hold because the S word. Yes. All right, but anyway, everything's cool with her.
Yeah.
She has no issues related to her father or men whatsoever. I just hear anger, and when I hear angry chick, here's how complicated women and humans are, really, pretty much. I hear two syllables, my little spidey sense kicks it. Oop, angry.
Hostile,
all right? Mm-hmm. Where's your dad? Boom, that explains it. Now we're good.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. There's no hostile women that love their dad.
Mm-mm.
She sounds like Jodie Foster from Taxi Driver.
Yes,
maybe
yes.
Accused. Hey, man. Hey, April.
Uh-huh.
You cannot swear on the radio, man.
I know, dude. Sorry, I'm going to do it again.
Okay.
What's your question?
Okay, bro.
Me and my fiance have a lot of sex.
And what?
And we don't use protection.
A shocker. You know, they don't use protection because she's allergic to burlap. Write that down, Drew. That's a good one.
Got it.
Done.
I just paint stuff on my penis, kind of like the pasty thing. And that's the same thing as a condom.
I actually shoot a little latex caulk right in the end there. Just block off. It comes out my ears.
Oh, nice. Well, anyway.
You're going to get pregnant, baby.
Yeah, you will, April. Don't worry.
No, I won't.
Yeah, you will.
Please get an abortion if you get pregnant. Please.
No, you gotta listen to my question, man.
All right, what's the question?
Rolling. She's gotta start swearing again.
I know, man. Listen, but I was wanting to know, is smoking... Is that the reason?
Oh, there we go. That's it. You're out.
I think she's smoking an S-load of marijuana or something.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't help your fertility. All right. Doing drugs did not help fertility.
Here's the
that
chance.
It doesn't prevent pregnancy.
Here's the chance that we have as a Western civilization. If the April's of the world need to be tagged and possibly bagged, for now, just tag them. And I'll give them a the Norplant, and they cannot let them reproduce. Because if April gives birth and has offspring, those kids will be destroyed. I'm not talking about the band.
Yeah.
Rock hard. You know what I'm saying? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If anyone thinks that the Aprils of the world are capable of raising a child, they're sorely mistaken. And by the way, you can't get a first and last together for an apartment, and you can't make a lease payment on furniture. What makes you think you can take care of a kid?
Right.
But those kind of people also will say, like, well, I don't need a dad. I don't got no dad. I'm just fine.
Right. Not only that, I'm a great mom. This April's will call us, I'm a fantastic mom.
Yeah, or now, actually the catch-all, which I love my kids.
Love my kids. Now, we're having foursomes with my neighbors, so anyway.
Right.
Sorry.
All right, April. Here's the thing. You will get pregnant. You're wickedly stupid, but you have to be smart enough to listen to smart people when you're dumb, and that's all you have to do. I feel like I have to refresh people with
that
thought every once in a while.
You won't get pregnant because things are too effed up for you not to get pregnant.
Here's the thing, everybody. When you're stupid, and I'm not stupid enough to think that there aren't stupid people out there. I don't go for this crap where it's like, oh, this guy's a genius and this guy's brilliant, but then there's no stupid people. That doesn't work. It's like at the end of the football season, if somebody's 15-1, somebody's going to be 1-15. They all don't get to just be 15-1. Mm-hmm. Or somebody's 15-1, everyone else is 500. No, there are some losers out there. Now, all you have to do is listen to smart people. You do not have to be smart yourself. Just do not go against what smart people tell you. When the cops tell you, go ahead and put your hands up or show a form of ID or whatever, do it. Comply. It's not the part where you're dumb. It's the part where you don't know you're dumb. And it's like it's like being the skipper of a ship and you don't know you can't navigate a ship.
Mr. Magoo.
You are Mr. Magoo.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Magoo's smarter than this.
But Mr. Magoo is as clueless as these guys.
But he thinks a raccoon coat is his dog.
Right.
And he's still a step up on half the people that call this show.
Right.
So here's the thing. Realize you're dumb. Realize you will get pregnant. Realize you should listen to Dr. Drew. And then go ahead and use it. You know how you cheat at school? Do that in life. Look over everyone's shoulder.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. And it's all free. You don't have to be a doctor. You call Dr. Drew. He goes to med school. His dad shells out all the bucks. He goes through all the syrups. Everyone's hair falls out. And he just tells you real quick, you're going to get pregnant, use some protection, and
you just steal
a little piece
that
of his soul.
That
little
genius.
Piece of that. What? Hundreds of thousands of dollars of schooling.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, by the time you get through the Little Lord Fauntleroy School for Albino Hemophiliacs.
Oh, yeah.
And then K through 12, by the way. And then you go into college and then med school and all the residencies and postgraduate. Blah, blah. Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yep.
Wow. He just gave you $1,500 for free. Use it. Use it, everybody.
Well said.
Don't argue with everyone all the time. Find out the experts. Pick their brains and use them for free. All right.
Song.
Oh, yeah. Bad Religion. Use Bad Religion. This is free. Rock out for free.
job site. The boss is godlike. Conditioned workhorses park at a stoplight. Seasoned vets with their feet in nets. A stone's throw away from a rock fight. But not tonight. Feed them death. Here comes another ration. Feed them death. Cause they're the finest in the nation. Feed them death. But it's nothing that the freedom wins. It's freedom or it's death.
Bad Religion for you. But then we won't. Haven't lost their edge after 25 years.
Crazy.
We'll take a... Crazy, Daniel. Take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
If you need help...
Call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Well, that's it. Where'd the show go? What happened to the show, Drew?
You got great guests. You have great shows. Huzzah.
Huzzah, I say to that. Hip, hip, and a huzzah. Thank Greg and Brooks for coming in here from Bad Religion.
Thanks for having us.
And The Empire Strikes First, name of CD, out as we speak. Band starting up the big tour November 2nd. And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
Right,
where's
dude.
Your dad?
I'm 20.
Oh, you are angry, baby.
I'm not angry, dude.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.